Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Go with me to Joshua chapter 1 for the next few moments. We're going to just treat this morning, this message, like we're heading out to Wheat State Camp, because I intended to just preach pretty short this morning. Famous last words from a preacher, I know, right? And then we were going to head out there. So we're just going to kind of keep the same routine, and I'm going to try to keep on the same time frame, and then just have some good community time. How many know community is a good thing, right? And so we're going to practice that today. So over the next few moments, I just want to share some thoughts with you from Joshua chapter 1. We've mentioned this over the past several weeks entering into this series, that about the importance of the promises of God and knowing and holding to those promises, knowing what God says about you, knowing what God says about your situations, knowing what God says about circumstances of life, and hanging on to those promises, taking hold of those promises, speaking them over your life, speaking them over your family, speaking them over your situations, because there's power in the promises of God. But today, what I want us to do is to take that thought and make it even more practical, in that I want to talk to you this morning, from knowing the promises of God to possessing the promises of God. Because how many know possession brings a lot more benefit than just knowing? Amen? Okay, the message, you've just been penalized. We're going 20 minutes longer. All right? To possessing them. How many know it gets exciting and it gets life-changing when you see God's promises become a reality in your life? It becomes exciting and life-changing when you know those promises, when you read them and you're opening up your Bible in the morning, you're having your devotion time, whenever that happens for you, and you come across something that just speaks to you, you're just like, wow, this is awesome. But then it becomes, takes you to a whole new realm and a whole new level when all of a sudden those promises become living to you, and they become active, and they become real, because you see the fruitfulness of them, you see the reality of them. It's encouraging to have the promises of God, but it's even more encouraging, more empowering to see them fulfilled in your life. Amen? God doesn't want you to look over the fence and see the nice green grass on the other side of the fence. He wants you to hop over and put the grass between your toes, if you know what I'm saying, with the promises of God. It's about experience and walking in the fullness of those promises. I mean, the Bible is littered with promises, promises of healing. You see it, James 5:14 and Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. There's promises of guidance in James chapter 1, verse 5, when the scripture says, listen, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There's promises of health, promises of grace, promises of peace and strength and protection. And on we could go. And while God makes a lot of promises, not everyone in their life enjoys all the promises. Have you ever been there? No, I have. There are times when peace is elusive. There are times where fear is suffocating. It reminds me of a little story I heard two patients, if you will, two gentlemen that resided in a lunatic asylum. They decided, you know what, we're kind of sick of this place. I think it's about time that we plan our escape and get out of here. And so they made plans to escape this asylum, and they were able to get up on the roof. And as they were up on the roof on the moonlit sky, they looked across the expanse of the town, knowing that, wow, our freedom is just a step away. And because of the proximity of the next building, literally it was just a step away. And so the first guy said, hey, there's our escape route. Let's just step over to the next building and we'll run across the roof and we will be free. And so the guy took his first step, and he just kind of hopped over to the next building, and he was like, yes, I'm free. And he turns around, and his partner is like, Larry, and he's scared. He's like, I can't do this. And so his buddy said, hey, I have an idea. I'll take my flashlight, and I'll shine it across there, and you just walk across from that building to this building on the light beams. And his friend said, no way, I can't do that. Because I'll start walking across and you'll turn the light off and I'll fall. I thought it was pretty funny. Obviously you didn't. But isn't that like so much of this walk of faith? We know the promises. We know that the possibilities are there, but it takes you and I taking that step, doesn't it? There are some Christians who know the promises of God, but they stand on the other side of the Jordan looking at the promises, but they don't step into the promises. And our text today is Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 through 18. I'm not going to read its entirety, but we will just pick it up in snippets as we walk through this. And there's three thoughts I want to give you this morning in possessing the promises of God from Joshua chapter 1. The first one is this. It's an immediate obedience, and we've talked about this already a little bit, but look at it in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, and then we're going to tie it into verse 10, and what we see here is this in verse 2, my Moses, my servant, is dead, therefore the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. Verse 10 says this, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go. Joshua responded to the word of the Lord. He didn't analyze it. He didn't rationalize it. He didn't try to make sense of it all. He instantly obeyed the orders. If we're going to experience the promises of God, if we're going to be able to possess those promises of God in our life, there needs to be this, I want to submit to you, this instant and immediate obedience to that. Why is that important? Because if you are anything like me, and I don't know if you are because you didn't think that one joke was very funny, but anyhow, if we're anything alike in some of this stuff, this is what happens. And this is why instant obedience is so important to us, because delay causes reluctance, doesn't it? Which can lead to disobedience. Here's how it works. The longer we wait to do what God has told us to do, the more reluctant we become in doing what he has asked us to do. God says, listen, I want you to do this and I will bless you. We hear that, we ponder that, we wrestle with it, and we wait and we become more reluctant. We come up with thoughts like, you know what, the circumstances just aren't right, the sun's not in the right spot for me to move on this one, so I'm gonna hold off for a little bit for a while. You know, there's a few things that I don't fully grasp, don't fully understand, so I'm just gonna wait till I get complete clarity before I move in obedience. Don't delay your obedience. We've seen the example of this already from Numbers chapter 13 in reference to the Moses sending out the 12 spies into the promised land to get the report. And the 12 spies come back after checking out the land and they report, hey, man, it's a good land. The grapes are the size of watermelons, and the watermelons are the size of water buffaloes. It's a great place. But we can't take it because the armies are too big and they're just too tough. We can't take it. And the result is 40 years of delay. When we delay obedience to the Lord, we prevent God from doing what he wants to do in our life. I mean, should I really do this? Should I step out here? I'm not sure I should do it. I know what the Bible says, but I'm scared. I'm reluctant. What if God doesn't come through in my timing? Delay dulls the sword of the Spirit working in our life. We rationalize ourselves into a place of not believing God. Have you ever done it? Into a place of doubting God, questioning our ability to hear from God, doubting God's ability to work in our situation. And we start debating instead of depending on him and what he can do. I like what A.W. Pink said. He was gentle when he said it. He says, is it not evident that the readiness of our obedience is a good index of the state of our heart? I was like, ow. But that's a good question, a good gauge to the quality, to the depth, to the intimacy, and the power of the Lord in our life is demonstrated by how quickly we obey. If God speaks to your heart, how quickly do you act on that? Joshua obeyed immediately. It reminds me of a passage of scripture we find in Psalms 119, verse 60, where the psalmist said this, "I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. Whatever you ask me to do, Lord, I'm going to do it." It reminds me of the police officer pulled this guy over. You've probably heard this joke. I probably told it before, but this guy gets pulled over one day on the way to work. And the police officer said, "Hey, you know what? You coasted through that stop sign back there, and I'm going to give you a warning today." And next day happened, and same intersection, guy coasts through it again. Same cop pulls him over and says, "Hey, listen, I pulled you over yesterday, and I probably should have given you a ticket, but this is your last warning. If I ever catch you doing this again, you and I are going to talk." A few days passed, and same intersection, the guy comes, he's late to work, he pulls up and he just coasts through there, and again the cop pulls him over and says, "Listen, this is the third time, man, we're not having this conversation again." The guy's arguing, "No, I stopped, I know I did." He said, "No, you didn't, you did not stop." And he said, "No, I stopped, I know I did." And so the police officer grabbed the guy, pulled him out of the window a little bit, grabbed his baton and started hitting him on the head. He said, "Listen, do you want me to stop or slow down?" Right? The heart of a person who is wholeheartedly committed to the Lord is the heart of obedience, which leads us to the next thought is this, an instructive order. Look at it, verse 11. "Go through the camp and tell the people to get their provision ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you." This is so interesting to me. The Lord is talking to Joshua. The river is at flood stage, right? They're 3 days' journey from the river. And the Lord says to Joshua, "Tell everyone to get ready. You're crossing over. Tell them in 3 days, man, we're crossing over the river," right? And Joshua relays that message to leaders, and the leaders relay the message to the people that in 3 days we're crossing over. And notice there's no explanation of how they're going to get across the river. There's no talk of bridges. There's no talk of making a trip to Walmart and buying a bunch of inflatable, you know, armbands so that they can get across. There's no talk about purchasing a pontoon boat. None of that. No talk about how it's going to happen. Joshua talks to the leaders. The leaders talk to the people, and the people do it. No questions asked. This isn't, you think, and you, this week I've been thinking about it, this is so countercultural to where we are at in our culture, isn't it? We think we need consensus. We think everyone out there needs to be heard and needs to be able to express their opinions before decisions are made. And what you see through the pages of Scripture is that God's plan is always accomplished through speaking to a person who leads. God has always used leadership to accomplish his purposes, hasn't he? Titus chapter 2, verse 15, Paul talks about those who are in authority. And we live in a day where this is detrimental, this response to this to authority in our culture. Listen, and we know this is true, right? All you have to do is to turn on talk radio. If you do that, all you have to turn on is some of the, if you like to torture yourself and turn on some of the news outlets, man, and you see it there, right? Everybody's an expert, aren't they? Everyone has an opinion. And if you disagree with somebody, you are labeled as, you know, if you disagree with somebody's lifestyle, you're blasted and you're labeled for it. I have a great friend. He has a couple doctorates and a couple of different masters. I mean, the guy is absolutely brilliant. You would never know it just talking to him because he's just kind of nutty. And he used to say, "You know what? Everyone thinks that they're an expert, and you know what an expert is, right? An expert in math, the X is what? It's the unknown factor, isn't it?" And he's like, "Everyone thinks that they're an expert, and so what you have is you have this unknown factor that's a spurt. And I was like, you know what? That is so true. Sometimes you just get into the unknown spurt of stuff and people just start talking and you're just like, really? People are so rude and people are so disrespectful towards each other and to authority. And listen, when we disrespect authority, we tear away at the fabric God has established for maintaining order and peace and function and forward movement. When a group fails to recognize authority, they fail to move forward. Now, as parents, I think it's so critical for us to teach your kids how to respond to authority. If they don't learn how to respond appropriately to human authority, how are they going to respond to God's authority? Right? It's critical lesson. It's a critical lesson we as parents must teach our kids to respect authority. I was thinking about this, and I had meant to ask Austin this the other day, and I was with him all week, and I just kept forgetting about it. But so I shot a quick text message, hey, is it all right if I share this story? And he's like, yeah, that's cool. But Austin suffered a pretty significant injury his freshman season of football, which he played through the season. He looked like he was like a one-legged pirate running around on the football field just because he was so hobbled by it. But he recovered from it. But during the spring, he made the decision, you know what, I don't want to play football anymore. So we had this conversation about it and what that meant, and so I said, okay, that's fine if you don't want to do that, but here's what you're going to do. You are going to go talk to your coach about that. And if you want me to go, I'm more than willing to go and support you and stand behind you and encourage you in that process. But conversations need to be had, right? And conversations need to be had the right way. And so this is a way that I'm going to teach you a little bit how to have healthy conversations you don't want to have. And so he was courageous. He went and did that. And it ended up being a positive thing. At least I think it was positive. You can talk to him after service. But it ended up being a positive thing. Now, here's the deal. How many know? You hear statements like that, right? And you're just like, well, what if there's stuff you don't agree about with the person in authority, what they're saying or how they're acting or what they're telling me to do? What do you do? Because here's the deal. You may, just to put it in our arena real quick, you may not agree with everything the youth pastor or the children's pastor or the senior pastor says about stuff, but I want to admonish you, be careful what you say. And time out. I'm saying this free of agenda, free of because I was in the bathroom the other day and someone knew I wasn't in there and I heard them talk. There's no, because nothing's going on that I know of, so I can say this with freedom, all right? So are we all good? Say uh-huh. Say if we're not good, say uh-uh. All right. Here's the deal, all right? So you may not agree with that person, but be careful what you say, because if you spend time undermining that person's influence or ridiculing their leadership, what are you going to do if the day comes you need them to speak into your kid's life? What are you going to do if you're ridiculing that coach and there comes a day you need that coach to speak into your kid's life because there is relationship there? What are you going to do? Listen, we need authority. We need to support those in authority. Again, I can say this just without agenda. And by no means am I saying there shouldn't be accountability. Everyone say, uh-huh. Right? There needs to be accountability. People end up in the jungle drinking Kool-Aid when there's not accountability. But the people would have never crossed the Jordan if it was left to a committee. Look how they respond in verse 16. They answered Joshua, We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses, and may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Be the kind of person, be the kind of leader, be the kind of follower that is speaking life into people. What is the people's wish and desire for Joshua? Man, Joshua, you are leading us. We want you to be brave. We want you to be courageous. We want you to lead well. Furthermore, notice the further instruction, verse 11, go through the camp and tell all the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you'll cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Did you notice that they prepared? If we want to see God move in our life, all right? If you want to see God move in your life, if you want to see the promises of God become a reality, then I need to make provision. We have to prepare ourselves to be prepared. We have to be listening. We have to be ready and waiting for God to move. We get up in our, in the morning. I don't care what time of day you're sharpest. You have time in the presence of the Lord. You incline your ear to what the voice of the Lord would be saying to you. You're listening. You're preparing yourself so that when God speaks to you, you're ready. And you step. 3 days from now, you will cross. Again, no mention of how, no mention of, okay, build a bridge, no mention of get, some rubber ducky floaty devices, none of that. Yet Joshua and the people were prepared. Too often, I want to submit, we trip ourselves up with the how. Lord, I need to know how before I am willing to move. And that's not what God wants us to do. One more thought, real quick. Look at it, an inheritance obtained. God had promised the land of Canaan to Israel, clear back to Abraham, clear back in Genesis, you see this. Now God is saying, listen, man, this is exciting. This is gonna be good. It's time. It's time to possess the land. They had owned the land, but now it was time for them to take the land and to step into it. In order for them to do that, there would be battles along the way. That's what the book of Joshua is about. In taking the land, taking the promises, possessing the promises, they were stepping into seasons of battle, seasons of testing, seasons of struggle, seasons of decisions. And the reality is, we want stuff just handed to us. But with promises come responsibilities, right? If we're going to possess all that God wants to do in our life and what he wants to do in your life, listen, I hate to break it. If you've not understood it, there are going to be battles for that to happen. That was a great place for an amen. Life is not easy. This is not an easy thing to walk out. We can make it way more difficult than it is, really, but it's not an easy walk for the blessing of God. God wants to bless you, but there will be battles. Verse 12, then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives, your children, and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River, but your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest as he has given you rest. You'd say, well, what's going on there? We won't take time this morning to track it all out, but back in Numbers 32, you have the backstory to what is happening here. They wanted, these three tribes wanted land on the east side of the Jordan River prior to the promised land because they thought, hey, this is good grazing. Our cattle, man, they're healthy. They like this grass. It's a good place. Let's just stay here and not worry about crossing over to the land that God has prepared for us. And Moses said, okay, you can do that, but you're going to go and you're going to help us fight the battle. You're going to help us conquer the land. And then once we've conquered it, you can go back to this land that you want. And so that's what's happening there. And you know what you learn from this covenant and this nation moving together? Moses said, man, no one can stay on this side, but you can stay on this side, excuse me, but you have to go over to the other side and help fight the battle. You have to fight the battle first. A lot of us relate to that because in essence, if we would break it down, we could say these three tribes wanted the promise without the payment. They wanted the blessing without the battle. They wanted the fortune without the fight. And so they thought, hey, if we stay on this side, then we won't have to deal with all the stuff on the other side of the Jordan. And the application is this. Some of you have gone through some recent battles. Some of you may be in a battle right now. And if you would have experienced them earlier on in your faith walk, some of the battles that you've recently gone through, if you would have experienced them earlier on in your faith walk, it may have wrecked you. But God has developed you. God has matured you. God has trained you in ways that you didn't even realize. And he prepared you. And so now you just came out of this battle. You came out of this season and you're looking back and you're going, man, if I would have went through that when I was 32, when I was 26, when I was 18, it would have wrecked me. But through this process, through this journey, God has been maturing me, preparing me. He's been working in my life. And I can look back and I can see evidence of that because I walked through that battle and I have victory and promises. The promises of God are a living reality for me. It reminds me of what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 when he's admonishing him to, hey, man, train yourself to be godly. You got to prepare yourself for this thing. How do we do this? How do we walk through this? Can I submit to you? What makes you ready for the blessings of God is the battles that come along your way and how you walk through them. Don't let those battles make you bitter. Let them prep you for the blessings. Battles are good for you. Didn't say they're fun. Battles aren't fun for us, but battles are good for us because battles develop us into the man and the woman of God that God wants you to be. Let me just give you four closing thoughts real quick. The worship team, if you would come. First one is this. Promises, the promises of God are often tied to performance. Now, granted, these aren't like, you're not gonna shout me down on these, I'm sure. But often the promises of God are tied to performance. God has a lot of promises, and most of them can't be fulfilled unless we carry out our end of the deal. Promises like this. One of my life verses, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, says this. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What's the promise? Shall renew their strength. What's the command? Wait. Don't you love it? Ha. 1 John chapter 5. Talks about the assurance that we have in approaching God. But the commandment or our end of the deal is this, that you have to ask according to his will. Promises are often tied to conditions. Second thought is this, possessions need to be possessed. Stepping out in faith and taking hold of that which God has spoken to us. And I think probably the most practical one that I, as a Pentecostal, as Assembly of God Church, believing in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit, believing in the activity of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, that it's available for you and I today, and we don't talk enough about it, is this, that God has promised at salvation, everyone becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within them. It's clearly seen throughout the pages of Scripture. But you walk through Scripture as well, and you walk through Acts, and you walk through Corinthians, and you see this evidence of the power and the working of the Spirit in the life of the church and the life of the believers. And we as Assembly of God believe that there is the second work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And you're like, oh no, he's going to talk about that. It was good until this moment. But here's the deal. Where we get tripped up is I see it happen all the time. People say, man, I want that. I want that power. I want that communion. I want that intimacy that the prayer language gives me. And they respond to that and they come forward if it's a call to come forward or whatever the setting may be. And it's like they want God to step on their foot so they open up their mouth and God would reach in and grab their tongue and start taking control. It doesn't work that way. There is this act of obedience. There's this thing that we have that we step out and we sense the God working in our heart. You've been in a service before, right? Where you've sensed God working in your heart. And you sense the presence. God's doing something. And you're just like, what do I do? What do I do? How do I respond? And you like feel something welling up within you. And too often we squash that down because we don't know what to do with it. Where what I would admonish you to do with it is just to begin to speak it out. And you're like, what if I don't understand? What if it sounds silly? Listen, it's not about what you feel. It's about responding to the Spirit in your life. And growing in that, and growing in that understanding, and growing in that intimacy. At the end of October, Dr. / Pastor Terry Yancey, our superintendent for the assemblies, will be with us on October 30th. And I've asked him, hey, would you just come and just spend the morning talking to us about the day before Halloween, you know, and ghosts. And so I thought, you know what? The best ghost we can talk about is the Holy Ghost. Right? So would you come and talk to us about the Holy Ghost? And then that Sunday night, it's the last Sunday of the month. And so usually, typically, that's a prayer night. And so we're just going to spend that evening just basking and just being in the presence of Jesus and saying, Holy Spirit, here we are. Do what you want to do. We just want to be in your presence and be led by you, be filled by you, be empowered by you. And so just put that on your calendar. It's going to be an awesome, awesome evening. And then lastly, I guess I have two more. I'll make them quick. Possession requires patience. If we get impatient, we're going to miss out on what God has to offer us. If we settle for what we can get our hands on now, I often wonder if we miss out on something better. And let me just reference it in this way. If you're single, the pressure for you in our culture is to do your dating life, do your engagement life as a test drive. And so I'm going to move in with my girlfriend, with my boyfriend, to see if we're really a good fit. And we want the blessing of God, perhaps, on our relationship, but we're doing it the wrong way. Because we're stepping away from what God would say and how to conduct a relationship, how to treat a spouse holy and blameless. Because I don't know a guy in this room, if I could just be really blunt with you, I don't know a guy in this room, ladies, I can't speak for you, I'll just speak for the guys, that if there is a someone laying next to them that they find attractive in the wee hour of the morning, that they're just gonna go, oh, that's just so nice. There is going to be huge temptation there, which pushes you away from the promises of God. Because more often than not, you're going to cave to that temptation. Don't get impatient waiting. Don't settle. If you're single, don't settle for any cat that comes along and talks nicely to you. You deserve the best. You deserve the one God has prepared for you. Don't settle for anything less than what God has for you. And if that means you wait until you're 65, we're praying for you, but wait till you're 65. If that means you wait until you're 21 or what, 18 or whatever, we're praying for you because it's worth the wait. Amen, church, amen? Amen. Number four. In order to possess, you have to pay the price. And that price is different for each of us. But there is a price to possess the promises of God. But it's a price worthy to be paid. Because you walk with him in a way that you don't get to walk with him otherwise. Amen? Would you stand with me? It's a message to be lived out outside of this place, because there's promises to be had outside of this place as there are in this place. But you know, as we just have this family day to day, and I know everything's been kind of train wrecked a little bit as far as location goes. But man, during our time of praise, I was just like, you know what? Promises are good news, aren't they not? Promises are worth celebrating and being excited about. And I was like, you know what? That's how we're going to end today. We're just going to end celebrating the promises of God.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.